This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu, and it's the start of a brand new week. We've got Jeevan Sahadevan from Leverage Lab joining us in just a moment. But before that, our discussion at noon on Enterprise BizBytes, Audrey Raj.
Yes, we're talking about English today. So over the weekend, you may have seen or heard that local actress and activist Maya Karin, she tweeted about an experience she had in Terengganu recently. So after a talk, she was just speaking to a 10-year-old girl, and she asked the girl, you know, how old are you? And the girl just kept quiet. And then she asked the girl again. The girl just kept quiet. And then finally, she asked the girl in Malay, how old are you? And to which the girl answered, I'm 10 years old. In Malay, of course. So, you know, she tweeted that and she tagged our education minister, Dr. Mazli Malia, and said, you know, think about it. A 10-year-old that couldn't respond to a basic question on how old she was in English. So to which she kind of received a bit of a backlash on Twitter. People said that, you know, there are so many developed nations and successful nations like Germany and China who, you know, they all speak in just their national language and yet they're successful. So why this emphasis and why are you belittling a 10-year-old girl for not being able to speak in English? So what we want to know is, you know, in the working world, in your career, you know, in business, how important is English? You know, get in touch with us, 018-789-8899. You can also reach us on Twitter and on InstaStory at BFM Radio. The conversation begins at noon.
Nothing ever happens in your business until you generate inquiries or prospects. How do you think about your marketing and create your campaigns will determine if your marketing strategy will succeed or fail. So Jeevan Sahadevan from Leverage Lab here takes us deep into the DNA of your marketing strategy, and we'll be talking about how to create incredible marketing campaigns. Nice to see you again, Jeevan.
Yes, always good to be here.
After 2 months, because, you know, we gave you a break last month. Seeing that Monday was a public holiday. So, you know, marketing is a word that's often used to describe everything in business, from how you get your customers to your branding to your business philosophy. Right. So how exactly would you define marketing?
Well, I keep it really simple, because whenever I mention the words marketing, everyone's got a different take on it, whether it's a branding issue or whether it's perception, or it can get really complicated. So let me put it really simply. So when you think of marketing, think of just one thing: prospect generation, or in other words, lead generation, your generation of prospects or leads or inquiries. So what are you doing in your business to generate prospects? And so here's where the challenge then comes about, because many businesses actually approach marketing strategies the way they'd use a machine gun. They just fire away at it and whatever's out there and hope it hits something. So you see, if you're going hunting and you use a machine gun and just firing away and hoping that you hit a deer, that's not very effective. What you really want to do is you want to learn to pick the right forest. You want to use the right gear to catch that deer. You want to do all the, put all these things together. So today we're actually going to look at that. I'm actually going to go through step by step. I've created the 6 questions to help you get deep into the DNA of your marketing to really look at it.
All right, the 6 questions. Now, how much money though should a company invest in the marketing? And people always, back in the day, it was 10%, right? And what do you think and why?
Okay. So again, this is a very common question. Some say, should I put 10% of my budget into marketing or 5%? You can do that. You can pick a percentage and do that. But a better way to do it is to understand this concept called acquisition costs. So acquisition costs, what does it mean? It means it's the cost of acquiring 2 things. One, leads, and the other one, customers. So for instance, if you put a 2,000 ringgit ad in either social media or in the newspapers or wherever you put it, and if that 2,000 ringgit ad gets you 10 inquiries and 1 sale, that means it cost you 200 ringgit per inquiry, and it cost you 2,000 ringgit per sale. So knowing that, the question then becomes, okay, if I want 10 sales, I need to put 20,000 to get 10 sales, if that is your acquisition cost. So once you worked out your acquisition cost, now you know how much money to put into your marketing. Right. So, and the goal is always to reduce that acquisition cost. So now if you're spending 2,000 ringgit to get 1 sale, you want to try and spend 1,800 or 1,500 or 1,000 ringgit. So you keep getting better at your marketing and the acquisition cost keeps going down and down and down and down. But the way to invest is according to your acquisition costs.
Right.
So that's how you would actually do it.
And so why do many marketing strategies fail?
The reason many strategies fail, and this is very important, because you could be doing any kind of strategy, whether it's social media, it's online, offline, it could be anything. But the reason why many strategies fail is because business people forgot a very important concept called testing and measuring. So for instance, if you're going to do an ad, you need to ask yourself, what am I testing when I do an ad? 80% of the success of any advertisement, for instance, is the headline. If you get the headline wrong, you're going to lose half your crowd. So you want to test different headlines. Then you want to test different offers. You might want to test different kinds of pictures in your ad as well. So one of the reasons why campaigns fail, or rather the main reason why they fail, is business people don't test and they don't measure. They just launch and say, hey, it didn't work. For instance, someone comes and tells me, Jivan, telemarketing doesn't work. My answer is always the same. Which script?
Mm.
You go, what do you mean? I said, yeah, which script didn't work? Telemarketing works. Maybe your script doesn't work. You need to test 10 different scripts and find the script that works the best. That's the script you use. So testing and measuring is the reason why a lot of campaigns actually fail. Simply because just business people just don't test.
Right.
They put a budget to it. They put a lot of money to something and then they launch it and off they go. Mm. So to counter all of these things, not putting your acquisition cost together or not testing properly, I came up with these 6 questions.
Mm.
So what this is going to do, these 6 questions, is going to get you thinking about your marketing extremely deeply, and you're going to think thoughts you've never thought before, which is quite phenomenal, actually.
Mm.
So many of my clients get massive breakthroughs once they go through this process.
Okay.
My recommendation is, when you got the 6 questions, is to spend a day on it with your team. So get together with your team and spend a day on the 6 questions. Don't answer them simply. I mean, go really deep with each of the questions. Go really deep with your answers. And when you finish that day, you'll have a major breakthrough with your marketing.
Don't simply answer. Okay. Well, you know, before we get to the 6 questions, we always have to do a long preamble. What are some timeless marketing strategies that don't or won't die out despite the emergence of disruptive technologies, right? You know, some examples of those, and some of those that have died.
Yeah, I'll give you examples of those that have died. So I've been coaching now a very long time, so almost 20 years of coaching businesses. Now imagine, I mean, I've had a few 100,000 people going through all my programs. And you can imagine 20 years ago, the kind of strategies that we would use was completely different from what you would use now. For instance, if I go back 20 years ago, take a guess, Frida. What do you think was one of the top strategies out there? Like today, there's a lot of people doing just social media from Facebook, Instagram. And back then, 20 years ago, there was no Facebook. There was no Instagram. There's no social media. So guess what's one of the top strategies, or some of the top strategies back then, 20 years ago?
Pamphlets.
Okay, yes, well, you'd be surprised. So here's what they are. So some of the top were, of course, advertising in the newspapers. Advertising, very big. Yellow pages.
You
remember that? Yellow pages were big. I remember coaching my clients in creating yellow page ads. Another one was direct mailing. Direct mailing is very big. And faxing. You remember faxing?
Yeah.
Every office had a fax machine. That was incredible. So this sort of stuff. So some of these strategies have died. But then there are a lot of timeless strategies simply because of human behavior. For instance, networking. That's always going to happen. It may change platforms. It may still take place on apps. You may have lots of apps where you do network. You may be networking in through conference calls and webinars and things like that, but it's still networking. So networking is one of those timeless ads. Referrals is another one of those sort of timeless strategies. Referrals also don't die. So there are a lot of these strategies that are quite timeless in a sense, but the format in which they run may change. But they're very timeless. So referrals, networking, cold calling. So these are very timeless. It's just formats may change. So you want to keep that in mind. But what we're going to do is I want you to go a little deeper than that. Not just look at the strategy per se, but let's go really deep. So we're going to look at the 6.
One more question. Like if we look at how, you know, you can sort of get specific about understanding your customer right now. So we talk about AI and stuff like that. Will that change the way marketing is done?
AI is interesting because AI will change a lot of not just your marketing, but your responses to your marketing as well. For instance, now they've got something new that's coming up with chatbots. Chatbots, it's starting to gain some popularity. There's still a long way to go with that. But chatbots is an example of how you would communicate with mass audiences that are responding to all your campaigns. And if you can't just communicate one by one, then that could be one way. So with AI, there's a lot of things, I mean, from algorithms to actual processes to technology. There's a whole lot of stuff out there. And a lot of this is still very young. So you still want to take a look at it. You want to monitor. You say, hey, can I use this technology in my business or not? Has it worked for other people in my industry? And so you want to pay attention to that. It's increasing in popularity.
6 questions to create incredible marketing strategy. We'll discuss this after.
Here we go. I bet you some people are now banging their heads on the wall going, you all that and now you're going to wait for the break?
You and Sahar from Leverage Lab, BFM 89.9.
Binge-friendly movies. BFM 89.9.
The Business Station.
This is Enterprise. Good morning. This is Ria Liu and Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab here. Six questions to create an incredible marketing strategy. We spend a lot of time doing the preamble and we're finally going to get to the questions.
Shall we just do it next week? Yeah, okay. So there's six questions. I know everyone's just eagerly waiting and it's like, okay, so what are the six? All right. First question. Question number one. Who's my target market? So the first question is you've got to identify who's my target market. Now think in terms of chunks. Who's my target market in terms of chunks? Who are my target market chunks? So let me give you an example. I once spoke to a secondhand car dealer owner and I said, who's your target market? And he said, Jeevan, I sell cars. It's everyone. I said, well, let me give you examples of classes of people that are not your target market. For instance, anyone below the age of 18, that's not your target market. And anyone say, who just bought a new car, they're not going to be in the market for another new car, so that's not your target market. Anyone without a driver's license, that's not your target market. And I went on and on and on, identifying different groups. I said, so now, let's take a look at your chunks, your different chunks in your business. For instance, young executives' first car. What kind of car would they buy? Maybe a Myvi or a Kanchil or something like that. So that's one target market. Another one, CEOs of organizations. That's a different chunk completely. They would buy a completely different kind of car. Young entrepreneurs would buy another kind of car again. So you see, we identified over 17 different chunks. And he said, he went, wow, I didn't realize I've got so many different classes of target markets. And I said, and here's where the challenge begins, because you have to sell to each group differently. The way you would sell to a young executive, his first car is very different from the way you would sell to a seasoned entrepreneur who's used to buying a lot of cars. You'd sell very differently to these two groups. So one of the mistakes many businesses make is they don't really know all the different chunks of target markets that they can approach and that they can sell to. They just come up with two or three and that's it. So you want to really identify as many profitable chunks that you can find. And one way to do this is look at your past. Take a look. Take a look at the past. What were some of the most profitable chunks you've ever worked with? Maybe they could have been, say, lawyers. There's one chunk of market that you worked that seems to buy a lot of your product or a lot of your service. Or maybe it could be professionals in general. So you don't want your chunk to be so wide, so big. For instance, don't say business owners. That's too big a chunk. Chunk it down a little. Say manufacturers or professionals or doctors or lawyers or interior designers or property consultants. So chunk it down a little bit to get as specific as you can. So the goal here is to identify as many chunks as you can. So this is the first question. And spend some time on this. So I'd get my clients sitting down and really going through as many chunks as they can come up with. And sometimes my clients will come up with 60, 70 chunks, different target markets, and they go, wow, I didn't realize I had so many. Now, here's the thing. The reason question one is so important is actually because of question two.
Okay.
So question two is the reason why question one is important. And question two is often known as Jeevan's golden question. So question two, do you have a commercial break coming on by any chance? Then it's going to pause again. But yes, so question two is a critical one, and that's a really big one. So you'll know why I'm spending so much time on question one, simply because of question two, and that's the one that's going to make you rich. So what's question two? Freelance laughing away. So question two, where do I find them in the highest concentration? So listen to this one. Now, you've identified 23 chunks. And now the question is, where do I find these chunks of people or organizations or companies or whatever in the highest concentration? So for instance, if I was targeting parents of small children, where would I find them in the highest concentration?
Kindergartens.
Yeah, kindergartens, preschool, kindergartens, these kind of places. If I was targeting students, where would I find them in the highest concentration? Universities, colleges, and so on. So the second question is the golden question. Where do I find them in the highest concentration? This is where you got to really put your brains to work here. You got to sit down and say, look, I want to target this group of people, for example, manufacturers. Let's pick manufacturers. Now, where would I find manufacturers in the highest concentration? One example would be FMM, the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers. They've got the directory, they've got the organization, can go there. Or you can take a geographical answer. For instance, you take Senawang in Seremban. So if you go to Senawang in Seremban, there's a whole bunch of manufacturers all. So you could look at it from a geographical point of view, from an association point of view, from a group point of view. You can look at it from any point of view, but the important thing is, where do I find them in the highest concentration? So let's take a look at this. Let's say you've identified 23 target markets.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal here is to have 2 to 3 highest concentrations per chunk.
Right.
So if you've identified 23 target markets and you go in for 3 highest concentrations per target market, you will have 69 highest concentrations of your market. It's actually so hard to be poor.
Right. Okay.
If you really think about it, you've got so much business out there now, and you go, wow, I've got 69 highest concentrations to approach to get a lot of business from.
Now, when you look at 23 in this case, right?
Yeah.
You can't be focusing on all though.
Exactly. So this is just the beginning. So you're mapping it out now.
Question number three.
Question three is coming. Question four is coming. Question five. So we haven't gone there yet. But now imagine the kind of state you're in from sitting down and thinking, oh gosh, I don't have customers. It's so hard. Business is tough. Blah, blah, blah. You do all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And now suddenly you're like, wow, I've got 69 highest concentrations to approach.
World of possibilities.
World of possibility. World of business. World of all sorts of stuff. So, and then suddenly you're really excited, and then you just can't wait for question three. So what do I do now? So you want to go to question three now? Imagine if you actually stopped here. Yeah, it'd be really fun, wouldn't it? I bet I'd get all kinds of messages after that, and with people waiting outside. So question one is, of course, who's my target market? You identify all the different chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Think as many chunks as you can think up. Question two, where do I find them in the highest concentration? So come up with 2 to 3 highest concentrations per chunk. Now, if you come up with only one, that means you're not thinking hard enough. So think harder. Question three, what? So the first one is who, second is where, third is what. What is my offer going to be? So these highest concentrations aren't going to bother very much with you unless you come up with a really good offer. So what's your offer going to be to this highest concentration? Is it going to be a free consult? Is it going to be a free product? Is it going to be a 50% discount? Is it going to be a complimentary diagnostic, for instance? Is it going to be some sort of limited offering? Is it going to be, hey, this is only available to the first 50 who respond? Is it going to be a closed-door event? What's your offer going to be? Come up with a very good offer for this highest concentration. Most people don't do that. They ask me, what's a good offer? Well, let me tell you what's a bad offer. Then you'll know what's a good offer. A bad offer is buy 15 wine bottles and get the 16th bottle at 1/3 of the price. That's a hopeless offer. You know, that's just a really useless offer. Here's a good one. Buy one free one.
Mm.
Buy two free one. You see, these are good offers. So it's not really hard to come up with a good offer, but you've got to think from a customer's point of view. Someone says, Jeevan, I'm going to offer 5% discount. No one's really jumping off their chair for 5%, a 5% discount.
Mm.
So you're not thinking like the customer, you're thinking like you. So what I tell my clients is when you come up with an offer, think like the customer. What would they want? What would get them excited? Now, this target market that you've identified, this particular chunk, what's the offer? For instance, if I came up with an offer of, a 3% rebate for a Kanchil or for a Myvi. So this particular group is going to get excited about that. So if you do something like that, a rebate or a discount or whatever it is. But the other group, if you take, say, your CEO and you have that offer just for the Kanchil, they're not going to get excited. So your offer's got to go according to the chunk as well. So when you say, what's my offer going to be? It has to be relevant to the chunk. So you're going to brainstorm now. So with the team, you get together and say, look, let's brainstorm according to the chunks. How many offers can we create? My take is always like this. Come up with 25 offers. Sit down with your team and come up with 25 offers so you can use them for all kinds of chunks. And you just crack your heads until you can come up with 25 offers.
Mm.
Now you're really equipped. So that's question three. Now we go to question four. Why? Why should they buy from me?
Right.
You got to answer the why question. So you looked at who's my target market. You looked at where do I find them in the highest concentration. You looked at what's my offer going to be. Now, why? Why should they buy from me? So in other words, what's your advantage over your competitors? Why should they buy from me? What's so special about me? Why should someone buy from me? So here's where you got to iron out your advantage. You got to explain to your target market, what are your benefits? What are your features? Give them some testimonials. You want to explain to them what's your unique selling proposition. What's unique about you? Why should they buy from you? And this is very interesting because very few businesses actually do this. So for instance, let's take a property consultant and they share a property with you. Hey, look, this is a really good property. And you go, okay, why should I buy this and not the other one?
Right.
So they need to have an answer. They can't just say, oh, it's a nice property. You've got to have an answer for this. Why should I buy this? And again, the answers have to be relevant because sometimes people come up with so-called uniqueness that isn't really unique. And it's just really nonsense. For instance, saying we give good quality and good service. See, you can't really say that because who's ever saying I give bad quality and bad service? Mm. No one's ever saying that. So saying that we give good quality and good service is like saying my car has four tires and each tire is so perfectly round, it touches the ground at the same time. That's just ridiculous, you know. So that's what it means when you say I'm giving good quality and good service. You're saying your car has four tires. It doesn't make any sense. So you want to explain, say, look, why should they buy from me? Then you want to have a descriptive answer, a comprehensive answer to that. So this is a very important question. Why should they buy from me? And spend some time on it. Come up with your uniqueness. Come up with an advantage that you have over your competitors and explain the benefits of buying from you and have some testimonials. Next question, number five. How? How will I communicate all of this to them?
Hmm.
So how will I communicate all of this to them? So now I've got all this stuff I want to say. How am I going to communicate this? Am I going to send out a WhatsApp graphic?
Right.
Am I going to do a Facebook post on ad? Am I going to do an Instagram post? Am I going to do a roadshow? And in the roadshow, I'll have, say, 6-7 people giving out fact sheets and flyers. How am I going to communicate all of these amazing things to my target markets?
Right.
And this is a very important question, again, because many businesses don't come to this stage. And you notice it's question five, which means you've got to do all the other stuff before this.
Yeah, a lot of people actually do get excited about this, right? They like to, I want to do this, without having thought
questions
through.
Questions 1 to 4. So in fact, many people do a Facebook blast, a Facebook ad, and then they say, it didn't work. Because they never thought of questions 1 to 4. So they're doing carpet bombing. So that's what they're doing. They're just carpet bombing. It's like just going to buffet and not having decided what you're going to eat. And you just eat everything.
Right.
You see, so they're just trying everything out there and then saying it doesn't work. So the thing, the challenge is many businesses start with question 5. You got to start with question 1. So that's why I mentioned is that we're looking at the very DNA of your marketing strategies. We're going very deep into the cellular level of your marketing. So question 5, how will I communicate them? So that's, in all honesty, that's actually the easy part. So again, don't have 1 or 2 communication channels only. Open up. You can use YouTube, you can use WhatsApp, you can use Facebook, you can use Instagram, you can use LinkedIn, you can use roadshows, you can use even flyers, you can do anything. But open it up, explore various methods to communicate your offer and your message to your target market chunks. And then comes quite possibly the most important question. Because when you're done question 1 to 5, none of it's going to make any sense without question 6. So question 6, when will I execute everything? You see, it's no point coming up with all this exciting, bizarre, crazy, strange stuff, and then you have no clue when you're going to do each one. Like you actually mentioned this now, said I've got so many target markets. So how do I do all? So that's where this question comes in. If you've got 69 highest concentrations, when will you execute everything for every single one of those highest concentrations? You will explode your marketing. Right. So that's one word for the when. Just one word I tell all my clients, schedule.
Okay.
Schedule it. You got to schedule this. So when are you going to do A? When are you going to do B? So you break it down into a map. You map it all out.
Right.
And you start having steps. So every single thing is scheduled. For instance, when will I target target markets number 1, 2, and 3?
Right.
Highest concentrations number 2, 3, 4, 5.
So simple things like, okay, Deepavali is like this. Oh, Puasa month is generally very quiet. So what kind of promotion will it be?
Exactly.
If it's about cars, when are the kids going back to college? You know,
yes, and that matters. You see, it really matters because when, for example, if you want people to come to see you, what days are best for them to come and see you? These different markets. If you're targeting employees, they're not going to come during office hours. That's going to be difficult for them. You might have to look at lunch breaks. You might have to look at weekends. So the when is such an important component, such an important question. So what I tell them is map it all out. Look at everything that's necessary to be looked at, from public holidays to school holidays to whatever seasonal things that are going on. You want to pay attention to this. Now with these 6 questions, you have a nuclear weapon in your marketing arsenal. If you do this well. So people say, Jivan, I spend half an hour on all 6. That's just not enough. You didn't think it through. Spend a day.
Right.
So my take is this: if you spend a day on these 6 questions, you probably have come up with more leads than you can deal with. So spend some really good time, really going very deep on this, and don't do it alone. Do it either with some friends or do it with some of your team members or your staff or your employees. The reason why is because no one of us is smarter than all of us.
Right.
So you can get all kinds of crazy ideas. I've seen people come up with some bizarre ideas that the bosses would never have dreamt of. So sometimes staff can come up with really awesome stuff. So do it together, but go very deep on each of the questions and push it very hard. And you'll have an incredible year of lead generation.
All right. Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. Back again the first Monday of next month. We've been discussing six questions to create an incredible marketing strategy. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.